You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
All right, Vic Carucci here at the Liberty Ford dealership in Brunswick, right on Center Road, right by Route 71. Come on out and see us. Folks are here. We've got free Arby's food for you. We've got giveaways and different things. And you can register, by the way, for a Jordan Cameron autographed football. You can register for a drawing that we are going to have at a later time for that, but you can register for that, and there are other giveaways, but free food available right here. We're in the middle of the showroom. We've got folks coming out trying out these beautiful Ford vehicles that surround us. It's a cold day, so a lot of folks are inside the showroom checking things out, but the sales staff very busy. Folks have been coming in all day long, so I like that. It's a good sign that folks are thinking about cars, thinking about new cars to buy, and this is a great time to do it. Stock is very high, and this is part of the Browns family here, part of our personal family, mine and Nathan's great, great relationship with the folks at Liberty Ford, so we love that. Also, want to tell you that we've come to, I think, a decision, or as close to one as we have, in a very difficult process. Megan Rock is at the studio, and Megan, this is, of course, about the nickname for Nathan Zagura, who the origin of this is, he gave me the nickname Notorious VIC. I've accepted that. It's now in a lot of promotional material.
It's in the
lexicon of our times, and we're not overstating that. But then our team president, Alex Shiner, got involved and said, okay, it's fine, and he's loving the Notorious VIC nickname, but there had to be one for Nathan, and basically have one before he comes back on our show again, which we hope will be soon. So we took that as a directive from the president of the team. You don't mess with that. So we put Megan Rock in charge. She helps us out on the show, as does Carly McCord. But Megan, this was her chore to winnow down the names to something that we could select and embrace. And Nathan ultimately has to live with it, so we want him to embrace it. So, Nathan, what will you embrace?
Well, Nate Dogg's actually been a nickname that I've had for a very long time. That's been since I was a kid, even. So I think that one is good. I think Gerard is right about that. It's kind of natural. It sticks with the rap thing. Nate Dogg, a very famous rapper from the West Coast, yep. A cousin of Snoop Dogg.
So, and the Browns.
And yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, the dog pole. We're in the dog, you know, here
and
in Berea.
And you bark
so
at the end of every show.
So I think Nate Dogg, I think we'll roll with that. Simple. It's easy. Yeah.
Notorious VIC.
Notorious VIC was just one of those times when, like, something special happened, you know.
So 2:20 p.m. on December 12th, we now have an official nickname. This show is now Notorious VIC and Nate Dogg, or Nate Dogg and Notorious VIC, whatever you want to say. That is what we are from here on out. All right, beautiful. Got that settled.
We're done with this.
Thanks.
Dave DiNatale's got Dino, and Megan, what are you? I just want to call you because you rock.
Rock.
What else are you? Just Rock. Okay. So Megan Rock. Okay. We're going to have everyone who's affiliated with the show is now officially going to get
Carly is y'all.
Carly's y'all. Definitely. From
Go
Louisiana.
Y'all.
Go y'all.
Yeah,
that's
y'all.
Right. That's right.
All right. We want to bring on to the show right now someone who's been here since the start of this broadcast, because he's been in Brunswick and he's been signing autographs and he's been meeting with fans, and he's a great friend and a former outstanding Browns center. And he's kind enough to join us, Dave Wallabout. Dave, how are we doing?
Doing great today. Thanks for having me out.
What about your nickname? What are we going to call you?
I'm listening to this conversation. I'm new here, right? So I don't want to get too involved, but it reminds me of that Seinfeld episode. You can't pick your own nickname, Nate.
You know, there were 10 different
candidates. Yes, let's make that clear. Nathan did not
suggest
any of them.
Right, correct.
Right, he was totally,
Diddy, Grandmaster Z, Zegatron.
Megan managed this process, and then I kind of got involved too, and I said, look, we'll get the names, and then he's the one who's got to live with it, and we want to be fair because, you know, we're in this thing together. So I want him to be happy. I don't want him to be grudgingly taking on a name that he's going to wear now for the rest of his life as part of the show. So that's why I came down. We wanted to involve him at the very end with something he could accept. So that's why. So what's your nickname? What did they call you? You had a nickname. You played sports all your life. So what was your nickname?
You know, I've been called a lot of things. Okay, and none of them probably are repeatable on the radio right now. I can't remember a nickname that ever stuck with me, and if I did, I wouldn't repeat anyway, because I'm sure that would live with me through my kids' sports right now, and that would be bad for everybody. So let's just right. Go there.
We'll let that one go. Dave, this football team now playing, again, these three final games coming off the heartbreak of what took place, frustration, maddening ending in New England. But as you look at where the Browns are now and as you kind of see them going through these final three games, just give me a sense, a player sense of that mindset that you have to have, I guess, to cope with the fact that you're not looking at a postseason, but you're a team that's still in this transitional period, finding some star players and still wanting to add some more critical pieces, most critical of which would be quarterback, and what your sense is of the immediate future and then the long-term future.
Yeah, you know, I think it's interesting because at this point in the year, the playoffs are out of the question, right? You see some guys really stepping up. You see Gordon, who's just lighting the world on fire. I mean, that guy came out of nowhere. And since 99, we have never had a receiver of that caliber, which, in my opinion, has drastically hurt our running game. This is a pass-happy league nowadays.
Right.
So you get a guy like him, you get a guy like Cameron, who you have two passing threats right now, it's going to help your running game exponentially. So I think as a player, they need to be encouraged by that. It's going to help your quarterbacks and take a lot of pressure off. When you have a guy that they're comparing to, as you did yourself, they're comparing him to Megatron, they're comparing him to Larry Fitzgerald. If you have a guy who can make that kind of impact, he's going to make your quarterback look better. His catching radius is going to be 10 to 12 foot. You get that ball within 10 feet of him, he's going to catch
sure,
it.
Sure.
You know,
as you assess the offensive line and try to get a handle on what this group, you know, how much better this group can get, and we know there's plenty of room for improvement in all aspects, particularly, though, blocking for the run. That seems to be one area, a big area of concern that would be obvious. Give me your assessment of what you're looking at and how you see or where you see things going from here.
You know, I think important. Of course, I'm biased, so yeah, I'll lay sure. that right out there. I think it's very critical they resign Alex Mack. I think they need to keep him here. I think.
Well, why do you say that?
Because, you know,
besides the fact that you're a center.
Yeah, like I said, I'm biased. What he does in terms of the play calling and his ability, the way he can pull and get out of the pocket. He's a big 300-pound guy that moves like he's about 250 pounds. Okay, so you can't underestimate what that impact that has. So now to take a guy who's been here, what is this, his fourth year he's finishing up? To take a guy his fourth year, hope to draft somebody or bring somebody else in free agency to fill that role, I think, is really a stretch because you're going to do one of two things. If you draft a younger guy, you're going to get them ready for the next coach.
Right.
You need to get a guy in here who can play right now. The second thing is if you go out and get a guy in free agency, it's not necessarily going to be a good fit because the type of system he was in before may not match up with what we're trying to do. Great example of that is when I was playing for the Rams, they made a direct example. They said, we could have drafted this guy here, but we wanted to bring this guy in. We wanted to bring you instead because you were ready to play right now, not 3 years from now.
Right.
And they told me a story about Leon Searcy. We used to love Leon Searcy. Brought him from the Steelers to the Jags or Jags to Steelers. Can't remember what it was, but when he went from one team to the other team, it wasn't the same impact because he didn't have the same surrounding players, same system around him.
So, you know, when we look at centers, and we've seen in this league some people do quite well from early on, like a Pouncey in Miami, you know, have those from their rookie years be excellent and do a really strong job. Alex Mack certainly was that kind of player as well. So it is possible to find a guy who can readily come into it and handle it as a rookie, or don't you believe that's ever the case? Like how much, I mean, there's always, I know there's great learning curve for all positions, but we have seen some rookies, though, make impact at the position.
We have, and I think what helps it a lot, just looking back on the years, when you have really strong guards, you can have a younger guy because you need to surround them by people who are confident in the calls, confident in the offense, and will get them through tough times when you're playing an Arrowhead and you can't even hear, you know, just some really weird situations. So I think if we had a Pro Bowl guard or two Pro Bowl guards or stronger in the middle, you might be able to get that younger center and say, okay, these guys are going to surround him. They're going to lift him up. But to have the questions, I think our tackle at Joe Thomas is great. You know, I think Alex is great. I think that there's some questions at guard. The guys are doing a good job, but they're looking for that staple that's going to be here for a long period of time. I think if you throw a younger guy in that mix, I think that upsets your running game in the middle.
We are visiting with Dave Wallenbaugh. He's a former Brown center, and he's here at Liberty Ford in Brunswick, hanging out with some fans who've been coming by while we've been here. Again, some free Arby's food still available if you want to stop by and get a little bit of that and register for the chance to win an autographed football by Jordan Cameron. As you look at the rest of this offense, you brought up Josh Gordon's name. It'll be brought up probably on every show we do from here till eternity. But it, with regard to the season he's having and the turnaround you've seen him make from last year, and I know we talked about him last year as a very raw rookie to what he has become in a short amount of time, how amazing is that to you, number one, and what are some of the qualities you're seeing as you study his game?
I think it's amazing the fact that it was like turning a light switch, because he kind of struggled, and then he just blew it up. I mean, he just really kicked the door in and ran with it. I think the thing that's extremely impressive is I was at the Jacksonville game, and that big long pass that he caught up in was 85-yard, 9 yards, whatever the heck it was.
Yeah.
It looked like everybody else just stopped running. I mean, his speed to me is just freakish. And I think people underestimate how fast he gets on top of them when he's running his routes. And then his size, he's actually a very big guy, too. So I think, to me, those are things that people, until you see his size, until you see his physical blessings, I think people are just really surprised by it.
And Jason Campbell and the whole quarterback situation, which is obviously the story one, always topic one around here, and unfortunately, until we can, well, I want it to be topic one because they have a sustainable right guy in place for a long time. As you see that playing out, I know you pay attention to some college football as well, but Jason Campbell for the short term, who you've seen already, Brian Hoyer, you saw some, you know about Brandon Whedon. Where do you see this maybe going with either Campbell or Hoyer, who presumably is the guy that's going to be next year's starter no matter what they do in the draft, but some way, shape, or form that you got to configure a quarterback position? And do you see any place that Campbell could be there based on what he might do building off of the best game of his career? Unfortunately, it came in a loss against New England.
Yeah, well, he performed amazing. I mean, that was a great game. I was so surprised that the Patriots came back to win that. But how many times have they done that this year? They're a second-half team, second part of the season. You know, I look at it, I think Campbell has done admirably. I think he's earned the right to come back and fight for a position. I think Hoyer, for the short period of time, really did well when he was here. He managed the field. He took what was available, took some under routes, didn't force too many things. He managed the game, which is what we need, I think, right now until we get those other pieces in place. But I think you go into it probably with Hoyer, you know, assuming he rebounds from his injury. You give Campbell an opportunity, and you have to find a young guy or a two- or three-year guy maybe that's been around, been mentoring behind a seasoned quarterback, and try to get him in and see in the mix. And unfortunately, it sounds like a quarterback competition again, unfortunately. But, I mean, I think we're familiar with that here in Cleveland.
No question. Dave Wallabout joining us, former Brown center. Dave, you're very active, as you mentioned, with your kids and in terms of coaching them and being involved with youth league sports. A lot of parents, you know, obviously – know about all the concerns and risks of this game that you played for, you know, throughout your whole life, and what the head contact is, and trying to mitigate that at the professional level, but also encourage it at the youth level to encourage safety and proper coaching and technique. But where do you come down on all of that as a parent looking at, you know, kids playing this game, and how do you feel about the future with regard to that?
Well, I think, you know, football is under attack. There's no question about it. I think they're in rightfully so in some ways. But if you look at across the board the impact of youth sports, I think hockey has a high, very high concussion rate. I think girls soccer might have the highest concussion rate in all of youth sports.
Right.
So I think football, by the nature of it, is, I guess, unfairly being attacked just because it's the hot story right now. My kids play. I allow them to play. I try to teach them and coach them to use right technique. I think having learned and seeing what's happened in the past, you know, we owe that to them to try to make them safer for everybody. But at the same time, I don't think we need to have a knee-jerk reaction go the other way and say, you know, we're canceling youth football. We're not going to do that. We can't participate in these events.
Sure. So. No, I know that's a great perspective, and I think it's just all about being smart and coaches doing the right thing when they work with these kids, and not, you know, sort of vicariously trying to be Bill Belichick or trying to be whoever and emulate them. I mean, be what you're supposed to be to those kids, someone who's looking out for their well-being,
Absolutely. You know, and the same as anything else, there's so many resources out there. USA Football has a great heads-up tackling program. Most leagues are taking into part of that. At least maybe they're not sponsored by that, but they're using the techniques and the protocol, and there's so much information out there. that we can be a lot safer, and I think a lot of people are doing that.
Great. Dave, really enjoyed having you with us, and I'm glad you've been part of this event here, and here till 3 o'clock. If people want to come out and meet Dave Wallabaugh, say hello and get some Arby's food in the process. We're over here at Liberty Ford in Brunswick. I'm sure we'll talk to you down the line, my friend.
All right. Thanks very much.
All right. We've got more coming up for you. Gerard Cherry will be here in this remainder of the show. And by the way, you can call us up, 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. Want your barks from the pound. And you tweet us at Browns_daily as well. Look forward to getting this into some of those in our remaining half hour of today's show. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura is back in the Dog Bowl in Berea. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.